The Brandon McMillan Podcast is brought to you by Lucy Pet Food. Why feed Lucy Pet Food? Because they specialize in gut health, which is vital to the overall health of your dog. I feed it to all my dogs because it works. Go check them out today at lucypetfood.com. Do you ever notice that your pet's fur may have lost its shine and not feel as soft as it should? Well, I've been using this elite conditioning shampoo made by Equus on my pack here at the ranch, and it's made a huge difference. The shine and softness of their coats is completely noticeable. You wouldn't put damaging skin products on your own body, so why would you do that with your pet? Equus products are made with the finest quality ingredients available, which are human grade and not industrial grade. That's very important. And they're also backed by a 100% money back guarantee. And who wants a discount? I love saying that. Visit Equus.com. That's EQYSS.com and enter Brandon at checkout for a 15% discount. That's Equus.com, EQYSS.com. Check them out right now.
Hi, this is Dean Merlino, the audio producer for Brandon McMillan's podcast. So today's show is the final show in season two. We hope you've enjoyed the past two seasons. In this episode, Brandon takes calls from his Instagram viewers and followers and continues the conversation from last week. In today's episode, Brandon chats with a few people about separation anxiety, how to transport a new puppy, and also crate training. I hope you enjoy this show. If you're still looking for those unanswered questions from a vet or a groomer, please be sure to tune in to Doc Halligan's Unleashed with Joey Villani podcast. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. I hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So, okay, so what's your name?
Tavy.
Tavy, got it. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Utah.
Okay, cool.
Yep. So, my husband and I just got a puppy. Typically, you should get your puppy at like 8 weeks to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
But the breeder was giving hers out at 6 weeks. And she already gave away every other puppy, so I didn't have time to try and say like no. But anyway, so she's super cute. I've tried to find information on her everywhere, but I can't because her mom's a Malamute and her mom is 50% Malamute, 50% Bernese Mountain. And then her dad's a red truck poodle. And I was working at a school, but with COVID, I've just been home, so I've had a lot of time to just see her and stuff. And she's just really smart. She picks things up. But what I'm struggling with is now I'm going back to work, and during the day, she gets really, really nervous, and she did really good. But today, I came home and tried a thing, and she got out of her crate, and I bought her a collar that is supposed to have, like, pheromones or something in it to calm her down. If you have any recommendations to help the transition.
What's her level of anxiety? Is it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being terrible, 1 being mild?
Maybe like a 4.
Yeah, now how long have you had her again? Remind me, because I don't know if you told me this because it was cutting out a lot.
She was 13 weeks on Sunday.
Okay, so you just got her.
Mm-hmm.
Or
7 weeks.
Okay, so I want to make sure I heard that right, because you keep cutting out. You've had her for 7 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been home this whole time, and suddenly you started going back to work?
Well, yeah, so I've been home, but in the beginning, I was putting her in her crate for an hour, and when I first got her, I just kept her we just stayed in a room, but anyway, I'd put her in the crate for an hour, and I would leave, and she would nap and whatever, so I was just trying to get her used to her crate, but I mean, my husband and I just don't have a very consistent, like, go to work whatever till from like 8 to 5 or 9 to 5. Like, it's just, I mean, we don't have a life like that, so it's hard to just be consistent on the weekends when we go out. So anyway, that didn't work, putting her in her crate for an hour every single day. So now she just kind of hangs out with us. But
okay, well, that's what I was going to recommend. You know, I've been talking about this since the pandemic started. I've been saying that anybody getting a dog right now, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you don't give the dog the false impression that you are just home 24/7, because someday, somehow, some way in the very near future, we're all going to get back to work, or we're all going to start leaving the house more, as it's starting to happen right now. And so what I'm seeing a lot more right now, it's just, this is exactly what I was saying. Dogs are, they're starting, I'm hearing about a lot more cases of separation anxiety because of this. And so what I was recommending everyone do, if you get a dog during the pandemic, is start them off in the crate, half hour, you know, 45 minutes, and just do this every day, and then bump it up to an hour and a half. And you have to teach the dog to basically learn to be alone for several hours of the day. If you work, do you, I don't know the situation at home. Do you have a yard? Do you have a dog door? Also, do you have another dog? Believe it or not, one of the best ways to cure separation anxiety is another dog.
Geez, I would get another dog this second if I could, but actually we have two cats.
So what?
Well, they're really like, I mean, I'm biased, but they are such good cats. Like they're basically dogs, but cats, but they don't like when she chases them. So I'm not comfortable leaving her outside of her crate or with them when I'm not there.
Yeah, but she's going to grow up. She's going to grow up very soon. I mean, she's going to grow out of that stuff. My point is, one of the best ways to cure separation anxiety or manage it is to get another dog. I mean, I know you have two cats. That really has, I don't know many dogs that would you know, sit there and play with the cats all day. There's not many cats that would sit there and take that. But two dogs playing, they can wear each other out. So that's always my recommendation, especially if you have a small dog. Because, I mean, you know, small dogs are it's a lot easier to manage than having big dogs. So yeah, there is that. That's one piece of advice I always give everybody. And I know it sounds like a big commitment, but suddenly when you have a dog with separation anxiety, you come to the crossroads and you say, what do I do? And then I always tell people, listen, you go to any of these rescues, most rescues allow you to do a week trial with the potential dog. You could always try it. Because a lot of people think it's like you're taking on more workload, but believe it or not, having one dog with heavy separation anxiety is much more workload than having two dogs and the separation anxiety is gone. So, I mean, I would recommend, I've seen a lot of people get rid of dogs because of this. And I'm like, why don't you just try another dog? You know?
Yeah.
It's not that much of a commitment, especially when you're dealing with an issue like separation anxiety. So furthermore, like I said, you seem to be doing all the right things. I would, when it comes to like medicating them, that's always my last resort. I do recommend CBD for separation anxiety all the time, not for a dog your age, but I would never recommend that before going through all the other steps. And the reason why is because I look at the quality of life. Let's say I've done everything, I've tried all the classic methods, the compression shirts, the sprays, the music boxes. There's so many things in the market that help manage separation anxiety. And when I've hit the wall in all of those, that's when I go for the medication. And I never go for the drugs. I go for the natural stuff first. So CBD is always on the top of my list for separation anxiety because it works very well. But I would never recommend it. Okay. I want everyone to listen to this listening right now. I would never recommend it for a puppy that age. I'd always wait till they get older.
How much?
I would say at least 9 months a year. At least. Yeah. I just wouldn't recommend it because, again, there's not a ton of studies on CBD. But everything we have seen so far, CBD has been remarkable for separation anxiety for older dogs. I just don't know about puppies. So I would let them grow up a little bit more. Also, you know, I mean, like I said, I would just go through the other process first. Go through all the compression shirts. Again, I find limited success with all these things in the market. It doesn't mean you can't find success, like the compression shirts. I find very, very limited success, but I have seen it work. So it's worth a try. Same with the sprays, same with the music boxes. There's music boxes that actually play tones that they've done studies and research to where dogs actually respond to. And have I seen a lot of success with it? Not a ton, but I have seen some success. So it's worth actually going down that road. I use CBD I have a 15-year-old Chihuahua. I put her on CBD about a year and a half ago, and I've seen her life completely change. She couldn't even get up off the couch about a year and a half ago. But like I said, I would definitely just go down that road of try another dog, see what happens. Because it's a puppy. Puppies love playing with other puppies, you know? Yeah. So it might be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the advice I can give you right now. Because again, a lot of this stuff's hard over the internet, but I'm just, you know, I'm giving you the advice that I can just give you from what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. She's 30 pounds. Oh, also one more question for you. Is there any way that you can kind of gauge how big a dog will get based on how much they weigh at a certain, like 12 weeks or whatever?
Well, first of all, how much does he weigh?
She weighs 30 pounds.
And how old is he? Sorry, she?
She's 13 weeks.
13 weeks. She's going to be a big dog. Yeah, she's going to be a big dog. I can't give you the exact weight, but I'll probably put her maybe in the 80 to 100-pound range.
What? That's crazy because her dad's a toy poodle. But
Well, she's already 30 pounds. Okay, she's already 30 pounds at three, what, she's 3.5 months?
She's 3 months and 1 week.
3 months. Okay. So she's 3 months. She's 30 pounds. I would probably put her above 80 easily because you figure she's already a third of the way there. She's more than a third of the way there. And they do most of their growing. They do most of their, they pretty much do most of their height in the first year. And then you got to remember up until about two and a half, they fill out. Their chest widens. Everything gets bigger in the shoulders. So they're done with their height by 1 year, but then they fill out like another like 20%, 25% of their body weight for the next year, year and a half. So they're not done until they're almost 3 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Also, so. You seem like you know a lot about each breed. So I was wondering if you're familiar with the Bernese Mountain Dog.
Yeah.
What would you say like as like their main trait?
There's no real trait about them. They're known to be very sweet with people, other dogs. There's no trait that I could point out with the Bernese that I could say this is what you got to watch out for. Besides health issues, hips and stuff like that. They're kind of known for that, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. And by the way, I always tell people, I'm like, listen, I generalize because you have to generalize with a breed or a breed type because you go off what we typically know. So we know border collies, and I was talking to a couple earlier about the heelers. Heelers are known for nipping. So we have to generalize, say, heelers are known for nipping because a lot of heelers, they nip. So we have to generalize like this. Same with Chihuahuas are known to be very protective and territorial, and so they're not good with strangers. So we always have to generalize when we come to breed types. A lot of people might not like it, but I listen. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to give you the facts and the data. Data is very important to understand. Just understanding basic like data, like research, like numbers, statistics about a certain breed, like a basic generalization, a knowledge of that breed. So you can do the work whenever these problems pop up. Doesn't mean the problems are going to pop up, by the way. Just because it's Chihuahua doesn't mean it's going to hate all strangers, but when your Chihuahua is not good with strangers or kids, always remember it's a Chihuahua. A large number of that breed is known for that. So that's what my second book is about. By the way, I'm right in the middle of writing it right now. It's about breed specific. It's about breed specific personality traits and furthermore talking about the history of like breeds, like how they all started from the wolf dog. And then we just itemized jobs for them, and then we took those jobs away. So it's all right. I'm gonna take one more, and I'm out.
Okay, nice talking to you.
All right, you too. Bye. Okay, we'll do one more, and then I gotta run. Because when 5 o'clock comes around this house, I got some dogs that are looking. If there's not dinner in those bowls, they're looking at me like I'm dinner. Okay, let's go to Mad Woman 13. I love the name, by the way.
Hi. Hello.
Are you Mad Woman?
I am. It's okay. Megan, but yeah.
How are you? Where are you calling from?
Good. We're calling from Jersey. I'm here with my husband.
Oh, okay. Well, where in Jersey?
South Jersey.
Okay, I was born in Trenton. What's going on there?
So, we are expecting a new puppy. We don't have it yet, but we wanted to know if you had any tips or suggestions on socializing the puppy during quarantine, because we both are working from home.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what the best tips or tricks would be for socializing given the circumstances that we're in.
Well, I mean, look, there's no secret to it. Socialize the dog with, first of all, make sure the dog or dogs you're going to be socializing them with is very good with other dogs. So in other words, don't do a risk socialization group where you just don't know these dogs. Always start it off with dogs you know and they're reliable with other dogs. I have a flat coated retriever here, Coda, who he's my number one dog to socialize all new dogs. I know he's so good. He's bomb proof in so many areas. Dogs can actually attack him, and he's so good. He actually knows how to stop the fight without any shots fired. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's my socialization dog. Because I'll tell you one thing, it ain't my Chihuahua. If I use my Chihuahua to socialize young puppies, there would be a lot of screwed up puppies in the world. So especially here in California. So yeah, just make sure the dog is. Whoever you choose to socialize a dog with, just start it off with a very reliable dog, just sweet, you know, very social with other dogs. One of the best things I would do is I would try to match the age. So if you're getting a puppy and the dog is 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, try to find another dog that's that age. It's a lot easier to socialize two puppies than it is socializing a puppy with an older dog. That's equivalent. Yeah. So try to get the ages as close as possible. And when I say close as possible, so if you have an 8 week old puppy, try to keep it, if you can, if possible, keep it in that age range. And the reason I say that is because, if you have like an 8 week old puppy and try to socialize it with a year and a half old dog, remember the year and a half old dog, it's not that little fun, playful puppy anymore. So it's almost annoying when a little puppy's jumping all over, an older dog. It's equivalent to saying, hey, here's a four-year-old child, and we're going to put you with grandpa sitting watching the nightly news, and we're going to have you two play. It just doesn't work. So you have to make sure that they're kind of in the same grade, and that's why it works. So there's plenty of people, I'm sure you know, that have, you know, dogs at least within the same age range. And that's it. Just let them go. Let them figure things out themselves, too, by the way. I always say when you're socializing dogs, all you are is a referee. In other words, if they get into a little scrap, let them work it out. Dogs have been doing this for hundreds of thousands or however long they've been doing it. We don't even know. They've been around for a lot longer than we have. And they've formed these packs. And in the pack, when their puppies are constantly scrapping, they're constantly, you know, they're figuring things out. And this one doesn't like to play with that one. Let them figure it out. All you are is a referee to make sure the rules are being abided by. They're not, you know, they're not actually getting into like a fight that someone's getting hurt. So I always let a scrap go, and I want to see if they can work it out themselves. 9 times out of 10, they can, especially as a puppy. They always like little puppy fights. So just remember, you're just a referee. And so yeah, if you can meet with somebody, I would say once a day for an hour. Make sure, it's always a little tricky when you have a puppy because they don't have their shots. But just make sure it's someone you know and someone you can trust to be like, this dog wasn't walking around, you know, like, I don't know, Skid Row and it got all kinds of, picked up all kinds of diseases and stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I have one other question if you have time.
Yeah.
We're picking up our puppy out of state, so it's going to be about a 2 hour drive, two and a half, three hour drive. Do you any suggestions on how to, if the dog gets panicky or gets anxiety during the ride home? We plan on putting her in a crate on the way home. She gets used to that first off when she, you know, because that's how we plan on taking her places in the future, is putting her in the crate. Or so we wanted to know if there had any suggestions.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd recommend a crate for a few reasons. Number one, crate training is going to be your number one go-to when it comes to housebreaking this dog and keeping the dog out of trouble. So, for example, you know, is she a female? Male, female?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's going to be, listen, puppies come with, they're full of trouble, okay? If they can't find trouble, trouble will find them. they're gonna pee and poop all over the house. They're gonna chew things. They're gonna be loud. They're gonna be obnoxious. They just come with these problems because remember, you're talking about an infant. You're talking about like a toddler. You ever met a toddler, like a year and a half, a 2 year old kid that was perfectly mannered? It just doesn't exist, you know. But it's the same thing. You have to remember. You have to do like the age range. So you're dealing with most likely what your puppy's going to be 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a toddler. That's a year old. That's a year and a half old kid. The little kid he stopped crawling a week ago and he started walking barely and he's falling over. So you have to understand that age is you have to think of the age as a, you have to humanize it for a second and say, always remember you're dealing with a toddler, because people get so ticked off when, you know, the puppy does this, it's, you know, pissing in the house, or it's, you know, it's excessive barking, or it's chewing things. Remember, it's a toddler. Toddlers do this stuff. You know, they don't understand the basics, like the basic logic, until they hit like 4 or 5 years old. So this is why, you know, this is why we typically don't get kids in school until they're in kindergarten, till they're 5 years old, because that's when real basic logic starts kicking in. They understand right from wrong. They understand yes and no. So it works the same way with a puppy. So I just remember your puppy for the first, you know, 2-3 months, that's going to be your hardest times with the dog. It's going to be the cute time, but it's also going to be the most work for you because you're raising a toddler.
Yeah.
So just be, so crate, definitely. Because that crate, how you're going to house train the dog to stop him from going to the bathroom in the house. It's also going to keep them out of trouble, so they're not chewing the house. You can give them crate time. I always recommend let them sleep in there for the first couple months, just to get them used to the crate. And also, you don't want to let them sleep. I never recommend for the first couple months letting them sleep in the bed with you, because again, you could be sleeping and that dog gets up in the middle of the night. And number one, if it jumps off the bed, it's like falling off the roof of a house. And number two, you know, when it gets off the bed, what is it going to do? It's going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
This is why we crate them. So definitely use the crate to transport, especially for the first few months. And and also, by the way, when you're transporting a dog, especially a young dog, they're, you know, they often get car sick. So it just might be a little easier inside the crate than all of a sudden, you know, all between your seats in the crack. I've had that a million times. And I take my vehicle to the car wash like once a month, and they know me very well. They're like, how much puke you got in the back seat today, Brandon? So, because they're always puking in the crack. A crate conceals it. Like, you just pull it out, hose it out.
Every time,
a little bit of Simple Green, and that thing's good to go.
Yeah. So, with a crate, at night, you said they should sleep in it for the first couple of weeks at least.
Couple months. Yeah, yeah.
Should we put the crate in our bedroom in like the corner while they're sleeping?
That's optional. I do for the first couple of weeks, because always remember, it's really confusing to the dog. All of a sudden you just put it in the house right away and you stick it in a room. It doesn't know where it is. So first couple of weeks, and then you can start. And I was just talking to the woman before this about the separation anxiety. Once the dog understands the basics, it understands it sleeps through the night. And by the way, it's not going to sleep through the night. You're going to be waking up at least once a night to take this dog out. So she's going to start, you know, crying. And this is, by the way, this is the gray area. They always say never, you know, take a crying baby out of the crate. This is a tricky one. It's hard to give advice of exactly, you know, what's the right way and the wrong way to take your dog out of the crate if it's crying. Because if they're crying in the middle of the night in the crate, most likely it's because they have to go to the bathroom. So what I like to do is, so I don't break my own rules of taking the screaming puppy out of the crate when it's screaming, what I'll do is I'll actually wait for it to calm down for about like 5 to 10 seconds, just that little bit of silence. And that's why I want to teach the dog that just be quiet for 10 seconds and I will take you out. And that way the dog starts to learn a little bit of control and manners at a young age. I don't want to take that dog out when it's screaming, because you are teaching it at a very young age. All it has to do is scream its head off and it gets whatever it wants. So that's the way I like to do it. All I ask for is 5 to 10 seconds of silence. Five is sufficient. 10 is better. Now it's going to be tricky for the first couple of weeks. Cause remember, we have a toddler.
Yeah.
They don't understand, but they learn just like we do. Dogs learn just like we. They learn through a trial and error process. So the dog understands, oh, I was quiet for 10 seconds and it got me out of here. So And then take it out, do his business, make sure you reward her, and that's it. Back in the crate.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all of your advice. We watched your master class as well, and we loved it. So you're so knowledgeable, and yeah, we haven't finished it yet, but we're very excited to keep going. So thank you for everything.
No, I'm glad. Everyone seems to be liking it. A couple haters out there, and I welcome them, but
well, it's not one of us. So.
Hey, I would love to bring a hater on here to debate. All right.
Thanks so much, Brandon.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That does it. It is past 5 o'clock California time, and I've got some dogs in the living room right now. They're probably trying to open the fridge at this point. So you heard what everyone said on here. They're watching the masterclass. If you guys haven't done so, check my masterclass out at masterclass.com /McMillan, or just go to masterclass.com and just search for my name. It is doing very well. It's a very, very good launch they had on there. So check it out. It's full training tutorial videos on everything from obedience to typical house issues. So go check it out, masterclass.com. Also, my book, you all know, if you haven't got already, Lucky Dog Lessons, Train Your Dog in 7 Days, available at Amazon. And what else? Oh, yeah. So a lot of you didn't know this, but I've got a serious radio show now. So a lot of people have been finding out, and I really haven't advertised it because we're just kind of getting our bearings about the show. But the show is a little different. I'll just warn you. I do it with a comedian, very good friend of mine. Her name is Jess May Peluso, and she is a raunchy, raunchy comedian. So don't worry, I'm not the one cussing in there. I'm still G-rated, or I'm PG-15. But what she does, we're kind of a perfect little duo. I give professional, you know, training advice, and I'm commenting on current event stories about animal stories, and all she's doing the whole time is just taking the piss out of it. She's just commenting as comedians do. So a lot of people that have been calling in the show, they're just shocked that I'm actually on a show like this. it's kind of a funny comedy show that basically we talk about real animal stories and I give real animal advice, but she's the comedian that always chimes in. So go check it out. It's the show's called Wild Things. It's on Radio Andy 102. That's channel 102 on Sirius XM. So Wild Things, it's every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. And that's, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So Wild Things, Radio Andy 102, every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Man, that was a mouthful. Okay, I'm out of here, guys. I hear the dogs opening the fridge right now, and I think they got the bottom drawer open where the meats and cheeses are. So, all right, have a good weekend, everyone, and I will see you when I see you.